a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Jalen Green got to be ready to make a play if he gets trapped here.
Splits it. Drives.
That is from win number 10 of an 11-game win streak by the Houston Rockets when they took down the Oklahoma City Thunder in what was probably the most fun game of last season. And now they tip off the 2024-2025 campaign tonight at Toyota Center against the bum-ass Charlotte Hornets with a tip-off at 7 p.m. The vibes are so good right now with this team. I don't think we have high expectations for them, but I think we all believe that this is going to be a very watchable team, and I do not see how this team misses the playoffs, Jeff George.
I have reasonable expectations, and I think those are reasonable expectations, Paul. Make the playoffs, not the play-in tournament. The play-in tournament's for losers. Do something real with your season.
Do something real with it, Paul. I don't know if we can quite look down at the play-in tournament yet.
I just don't like it in general. That's the problem.
I agree with you there. I will gladly take the play-in tournament to make the playoffs. But I think that right now, you are looking at one of the friskier and more fun teams in the league. And I think best of all, to be consistent with what Ime Udoka's been trying to preach to this Rockets team, I like that there are so many guys on this team that are going to have to essentially battle one another for playing time. You will probably, over the next year, couple of years, essentially be having a sort of tryout for who's here long term. And I think that can only make this team tougher and better.
I mean, you look at the start with Fred VanVleet. Like, his contract could be up at the end of the season. He's got to worry about Amen Thompson. You've got Reed Shepard. You've got Cam Whitmore. Like, basically, you have Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün. Those are your two main guys now that you've paid them. You got Fred VanVleet will be your starting point guard. And you have Dylan Brooks. And even like Dylan Brooks should be feeling some pressure this season. Because you're right, there's so much talent. The core 20, whatever we're at now, 8, 7, 6, whatever they want to call the core of the Rockets, these young players. You're right. It should be a real competition for playing time, for minutes, for valuable minutes. Not just in the – because I'm most curious about the end of the game. Like, how does that competition within the team play out? If you are in a 5-point game and there's 2 minutes left, who are the five guys on the court? Because you know it's going to be Alpie and Jalen, but – is Steven Adams in the mix here?
No. Steven Adams definitely not in the mix. I think we could rule him out.
I think they're
keep asking questions, though. I feel like you're going with some more names.
Will Dylan Brooks be in it? Because he can't shoot. Like, he can play great defense.
He thinks he can shoot.
He thinks he can. And Cam Whitmore thinks he can play defense. So, like, which one wins that battle? The end of the game is going to be the most interesting part of this season early on as they try to figure out their final rotation in crunch time. Who's going to be on the court and who's not?
I'm with you there. I like that you can definitively look down at a Charlotte Hornets team tonight. You're in a tier above them, possibly multiple tiers above them. Now, the Hornets aren't very good, and there's been all sorts of bad vibes with them since they rebranded. Honestly, there's just been bad vibes since they existed.
At least Michael sold the team. Like, maybe they'll be in a – now that Jordan's gone, ruining a franchise, like maybe they'll be in a little bit of a better direction.
Literally have never made the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's
as a franchise.
Sad.
Like, not since the Bobcats, since Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson. Those guys never made the third round.
Who are the best players they've had? Kemba Walker?
I just named two of them. Okay. Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson.
But they
Kemba
don't count. They're not even from these. I mean, those are the Hornets that moved to New Orleans and became the Pelicans.
They have that history, though.
I get that. But it's a different franchise.
Yes. In 2000, like, three iteration, like since 2003.
Kemba Walker.
Gerald Wallace was really good for
Emeka
a little
Okafor,
while.
Or Gerald Wallace was pretty good.
Emeka Okafor.
I guess LaMelo Ball.
Mason Plumlee.
See? You should win tonight.
Yeah.
You should win rather convincingly tonight. This team, just a loser franchise all time. And you are turning yourself back into a winning franchise. I like Ime Udoka as a coach. I'll give Rafael Stone a lot of credit for cleaning up the mess that this roster was, especially in a post-Kevin Porter Jr. world. Things have aged very well for this team. And now this year is about figuring out who sticks around for the long haul.
I think the what impresses me the most about it is just the success rate in which he hit with his lottery picks. I mean, Alperen Şengün, he was a 16th pick in the draft. And he just got a five-year, what, $185 million contract?
Mm-hmm.
You typically think that's the top of it. And they got really unlucky a lot of times in the lottery where they would get the second or the third pick and they never landed that first overall pick. But they've done a really good job of cultivating talent and building, like we're talking about, that inner competition. And now to see what's next is how much they grow in year two of Ime Udoka. That now that he's established this culture, like of playing hard defense, of being a tough basketball team on the court and not dealing with people's nonsense when they're trying to start fights and going at people all the time. Like the feisty Rockets. That's one thing I hope doesn't change the season.
Yeah, I want them to get in fights every single game. We all did predictions for tonight's game, and both of you guys see it being a little more high-scoring than me. I want the Rockets to not be like Rockets. I want the Rockets to be post-World War III. I want the Rockets to get in rock fights.
Mm.
The Rock Fight Rockets.
Just start punching people.
Rockets! Rock Fight! That's not going to roll off the tongue. I think that their hashtag this year is Rockets Liftoff, which, okay, that makes sense. It's the liftoff of a new generation. But I want them to get in rock fights every night because that's the kind of basketball that I like. And I know that I am in the minority here in terms of liking that, but this is why I am so much more open to jumping aboard this bandwagon because they're not a bunch of softies like I felt like the Daryl Morey, Harden, Chris Paul Rockets were, and I know they had the 1 year, but I just hated the way that they played, hated the style that they had. I want a team that wants to fight people. And guess what? This team literally does.
I think they're generally likable. I mean, I really don't think there's anyone. I know some people don't like Jalen Green. I do like Jalen. Like, I think he has his flaws as a basketball player, but he's really the only guy that there's people on social media, at least.
I'm giving him a fresh start this year with the way that he finished it off. But you're right. It is mixed. And, of course, he did not handle certain moments last year very well. He was god-awful until all of a sudden, what, February, March, he started to just blow up.
I will say, as far as the core seven, you're right. They literally have Dylan the villain.
Yeah, but he's our villain now.
No, but, I guess.
Well, do you like him now?
Is he likable?
He's likable as long as he's on the Rockets.
Do you two like him now?
I'm not all the way in. I'm like 95% in on Dylan Brooks.
I think I'm like 80%.
He actually did not shoot that badly.
Yeah, he had a couple of good games last year.
There's a while where he was like over 40%, where the entire time you're like, this is not sustainable.
Well, it was the start of the season last year. The start of the year. I was like, wait a minute. Who is this guy?
Yeah. Okay.
This is not the basketball player I thought they signed. Yeah, I'm like 80% for Dylan Brooks.
80?
I can't get all the way there yet.
Okay.
For me, it's mostly how he conducted himself in the after the Lakers series and the like, not doing the media stuff after losses, but doing it after wins and talking smack. It's like that just still leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But for the most part, I like Dylan Brooks.
But like before a game, when he's just awkwardly
staring
at LeBron and just like,
well, no, he's just staring in the distance.
No, he doesn't stare at anything. I went down courtside at one of the Rockets games I went to last year to try and figure out what he was staring at. I was just walking around, and he literally stares at nothing.
Looking over his shoulder.
Okay.
Yeah, he just, like, stares off in the distance.
I think I like that more than. Now 85%.
I like it more than it being some sort of intimidation factor. Because guess what? You're not going to intimidate LeBron.
But it's like a team intimidation factor. I feel just like, what's wrong with this lunatic?
Yeah, it's a little bit of like, oh, God. It's where you're in the layup line. You do the layup. You're running back to half court to get the end of the line. And you look and you're like, oh, God, we have to play this psycho? That's what it's for.
Yeah, I'm excited for this season. I'm with you, Paul. I think the expectation is to make the playoffs. I think they will make the playoffs this year. You look at the teams in front of them. you know, they just missed it last year by 5 games. Most years, 41-41 gets you into the play-in tournament. And the only team behind you that is should also have the expectations to make the playoffs this year, I would say, is the Grizzlies. You know, they should have some talent. But the teams in front of you, we saw Klay Thompson leave Golden State. Like, what do they look like? I don't really believe in the Sacramento Kings. Maybe Mar DeRozan keeps them in the playoffs. The Pelicans are one Zion cheeseburger away from their season being ruined.
He to his credit, he finally is in shape.
I know, which is scary for the league. The Lakers, I think they won last night. Like, we'll see how their season goes.
They are a half game back of the Lakers right now.
Yeah, they're the best team in the Western Conference right now.
Got to start climbing up.
Yeah.
Climb up those rankings.
The Rockets tonight. Ahead of the Timberwolves, though. How about that?
All right, Timberwolves dead.
Western Conference Finals for the Rockets?
Rudy Gobert got a fat new contract. Didn't look good last night from what I watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing with some of these extensions is, like, you don't feel great about paying guys like Green and Şengün, who, like, haven't really done much to, like, definitively be worth $35 million. But then you see teams re-sign, like, a 30-something-year-old big man, and you're like,
yeah, Rudy Gobert. Talk about rock fight basketball. Rudy Gobert is for the rock fights, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, he is... I can't believe that Minnesota is committing to him further. So you're right. I mean, you do not want to commit to somebody like Rudy Gobert. I got a push notification from the ESPN app because the Celtics skull bleeped the poser ass Knicks with 29 threes. Didn't get it for that. Defending champions who actually matter. I got a push notification for nepotism in the NBA. So I'm glad that they at least stopped giving me push notifications for the WFing NBA. But oh, great. Bronny's coming into the game. And he came in early, right?
He played like 3 minutes last night.
Yeah, I think it was four minutes left in the second quarter.
And that was all he played last night?
I think so.
This is so stupid. He shouldn't even be on the team.
He shouldn't be in the league.
Wasted a roster spot on
him. I like that they got out of the way, but yeah.
He's their Boban. Like he's going to be the guy that Lakers fans are going to be chanting at the end of games when they're winning or losing by a lot of points, going, Bronny. Like, and then LeBron's going to be playing like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter so he can play with his kid.
Who was that random white guy on the Cougs last year who would come in at the end of the games?
Ryan Elvin.
Yeah, he's their Ryan Elvin.
What's Elvin? What's he? Oh, he's coaching the Cougs, right?
But at least Ryan Elvin scored 9 points at the end of the game against Kansas.
Yeah, he could hoop a little
bit. He could
knock down free throws.
Yeah, he was wet. I mean, I don't think Bronny James will ever score 9 points in a game in his career. How about that?
Oh, I like career total for Bronny James.
Outside of the month of March and April, I think I'm with you.
Okay, fair enough.
He's scoring like 3 points a game in the summer.
No, but Malachi Flynn scored 50 points in a game last year. And 95% of our audience just went, who the hell is Malachi Flynn?
Yeah,
I said, who the hell is that?
I don't either. Sounds like the bad guy in Children of the Corn.
He looks like a bad guy.
I think Malachi the little bastard with the black hair? Was he the giant ginger? I forget. Ever seen that movie, Children of the Corn?
Yeah, don't love it. It freaked me out the first time I saw it.
Never saw it.
Never saw it again.
I had a hard time believing the actress who plays Sarah Connor in the Terminator franchise. I had a hard time believing that she wasn't a badass after having seen Terminator 2. Anyway, Reed Sheppard, Rookie of the Year, odds, plus 600 from, I believe, which website is this? I can't recognize the logo. But generally, Reed Sheppard has the second best odds to win Rookie of the Year. We in, we out. Reed Sheppard, Rookie of the Year.
I don't know if he's going to play enough. I like the bet. I like the bet at plus 600. A little sprinkle on there. I'll go with it, but I just don't know if he plays enough over Edie.
Yeah, it's more of an indictment on everyone else in the draft. Or not an indictment, but just they're also uncertain as to whether they are A, good, B, will play. Except for him, who we feel pretty confident is good. And Zach Edey, who Joe mentioned, who is the favorite most places. Because he will just have so much opportunity.
I think there's a chance that by the end of the year, Reed's playing more than Fred VanVleet. I think there's a chance. And I think if that happens sooner rather than later, then I'm in. And guess what? I'm in on it.
I would love to see Reed Sheppard like be a major, like the clear sixth man off the bench.
He can pass. I mean, at least summer league. So take it with a grain of salt.
You know, he was a good passer in college, and he's got a great jump shot.
And he plays pretty good on defense. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot that adds up to him being a better play than Fred VanVleet, and at some point they will turn to him.
He's definitely someone who, over the course of the season, gets more and more playing time because of what you mentioned on defense, where he's a pretty smart defender. He knows, I mean, obviously he's limited with his size, but he knows his limitations, and yeah, he's engaged.
He's Joe George, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're going to be doing prop bets for the Rockets all show long. Houston Texans did something today. I hate it. I'll tell you what it is next.
Let's talk about O-Athletic, oathletic.com, O-Athletic on Instagram. You can find them, 767 North Shepherd over in the Heights. They offer over 100 classes per week. They start up early in the morning. They pick back up around 4:30, so you can go after your workday. They got some classes on the weekend, too. So if it's hard to get to the gym, you know, consistently and take time for a class during the week, that is something you can do on the weekend. If you're, look, that's something for me. I work at home on the weekends. I'm not making the drive, but if that's for you, they got classes for you. You can get a personal trainer as well, 1 to 5 times a week. They will work around your schedule. It's the gym for me. It should be the gym for you. Don't wait till 2025 to start working on your goals. Do it right now at O Athletic.
ESPN 97.5.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
I'm done with the game. I just had to come in here and answer all the questions. I'm done with it, and I've moved on. Just give you guys, after you guys watched the film and got all the criticism, bring it on. But it's good. I'm on to the net. All I'm thinking about is the Colts.
That was D'Amico Ryans at his Monday press conference. That's right. It is Wednesday. That means the Texans are 0-0 again. On to Indianapolis, at home.
Can we say 1-0?
No.
Oh.
No.
But they beat Indianapolis already this season.
Joe, we're trying to put the past in the past. And since this team has had similar issues pop up in just about every single game except for against the Patriots, who stink, they're 0-0.
All right, 0-0 on the Indy.
They signed linebacker Devin White today.
They did.
I do not like this move.
Why?
Now, first off, it's a bad sign for Azeez Al-Shaair and Christian Harris, the injuries they're dealing with. A lot of people thought after some transactions they made yesterday that the Texans were going to bring somebody back from injured reserve, and they were hoping it was going to be the first time we see Christian Harris all year. And maybe that still happens, but instead, they sign a Buccaneers linebacker who used to be very good. He played at LSU, and his first couple of seasons in the league with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 2019, 2020, 2021, he was really effing good. He helped them win in that Super Bowl against the Bucs. He was all over the field in that game. He was a second-team All-Pro that season, a all-rookie team player his first year, a Pro Bowler in 2021. But since then, he's been more of a bad teammate than anything. It doesn't seem like the effort's been the same. And if you want to know where he's at right now, on a struggling Philadelphia Eagles team, which he played for earlier in the year, he did not get on the field once. Not once.
Yikes.
So they bring this guy in, and I just feel this is not the kind of guy you want to bring into the locker room. I know that you've done it to an extent with Stephon Diggs, and Diggs has been a model citizen, and maybe Devin White can be a model citizen here. But I don't think Devin White's that good anymore, and I also don't think he's a good teammate. You want to bring this into a team that's underachieving right now? I'm out.
It does reek of desperation a little bit. And to be honest, when you look at this last game, I thought Jake Hansen and Neville Hewitt were okay. They were okay.
I thought Hewitt was very good.
Yeah.
Hansen, he was there. I noticed him. I thought Hewitt played his ass off.
I mean, the Pro Football Focus numbers, you know, like when they did their top graded Texans, they had Hansen in their top five.
Interesting.
So it's like they thought it was a good weekend. Like this is, maybe this is one of those moments where it's you know you need someone and you find the first person on a piece of paper whose name you know and who played well against you last year. He had 9 tackles for the Buccaneers last year against the Houston Texans. So maybe like they just think that there is a guy in there that they can unlock. I will say I do trust D'Amico in terms of like character guys, that if it doesn't work out, he'll get rid of him again. So, like, I don't think this is one. This is not Kevin Porter Jr., right, where he's going to come in, be a problem, and they're going to keep him around. If he comes in, does not work hard, is not a good teammate, they will just cut his ass.
Do we have evidence of that, though?
It's kind of his personality that I kind of bet on it.
It's wishful thinking.
And it is wishful thinking.
It kind of goes back to, we all like DeMeco Ryans. We all expect him to do what we think is the smart move, even though he's not very good at game management decisions.
Maybe is it Steven Nelson a little bit? Like, even though there was the drama around it.
He was a free agent, though, you know?
Yeah, but there was, like, the drama around the Nick Caserio vest. But, like, once they got it all set and once they started playing football, everything was fine. So maybe it is wishful thinking. 100% wishful thinking.
I don't think DeMeco cut him, you know? I feel like Nick Caserio thought to himself, he's asking for too much. And clearly no one around the league feels Nelson's all that good. That's why he's not playing right now.
Yeah. So, and there's a reason why Devin White wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was not last week he got cut by the Eagles. It was a couple weeks ago, I think it was.
Right.
He's been sitting out there for a little bit. So people see the name, you know, the ESPN headline, signed ex-Pro Bowl linebacker White. People immediately are going to be like, oh, this is a great sign for the Texans. He's going to come in, make an immediate impact. He's a depth piece. I don't even know how much we'll see him this weekend.
For a fan base that is very casual, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this guy went from a fan favorite to the most hated player on the team. He got pissed off about playing time while he was with the Buccaneers at the very end. And most recently this year, he's been doing dumb stuff on social media that with the Eagles did not seem to be the signs of a guy that is embracing being a good teammate with this Eagles team. So I'm not a fan of this move. You want to weigh in on it, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. We've got Dom in Jersey, and he's mad at the Texans from Sunday. Dom, what's up?
My man, appreciate you taking my call. I know it's not Reaction Monday. I tried letting the dust settle a little bit, but I'm still just as annoyed today as I was on Monday. Let me just sound off here. DeMeco Ryans, I love you. I would die for you, but your game management is somehow getting worse. You're absolutely right, Paul. He's a great character guy. He's proven me wrong. He's definitely coached his defense up this year, but his game management decisions are puzzling. Bobby Slowick, I don't even want to dive down this road. I share the same opinion everyone else does in Houston, fans all over the country. I can't stand him. Now, my guy C.J. Stroud, I would also die for C.J. Stroud. I'll say that over and over again. Show me something this week, bro. You have to show me something. You're an unbelievable player, but your performance Sunday in Green Bay, a lot left to be desired. The attitude on the side, I'm not used to seeing that from you, C.J., so I want to see the C.J. Stroud that I know and love. Now, the offensive line. I don't have an issue with mistakes. I understand mistakes are going to be made. What I have an issue with is not taking pride in your work and not being aggressive, not looking at the other guy on the other side of the football and say, I'm going to beat you on this play. Laremy Tunsil's too worried about his pregame outfits, his postgame outfits. Finally, Paul, just wanted to let you know, I am 0-11 seeing the Houston Texans live. I've been to the H multiple times. I am going to be at the Jet game on Halloween. I'm also coming down to the H for the Lions Sunday night game. So this week is a must-win game. I appreciate you taking my call, bro. Go Texans.
Dom, do not be a stranger. That was fun the whole way through. I do have questions about how many Texans Dom would be willing to die for.
At least two.
Two. I think two is about the right number. Maybe a third.
And maybe Nico Collins?
That's it.
Tom Brady is the only athlete I would consider dying for. And even then, I don't know.
Joe Mazzulla?
I do like Joe Mazzulla a lot.
I feel
now.
Like Joe Mazzulla might be your number one
more
right
ring?
Now.
One more ring.
I need another ring from Joe Mazzulla.
Okay.
I need another ring from Joe Mazzulla.
That's one enough
there.
For you.
Well, yeah. I mean, right now he's still on the same level as Doc Rivers for my beloved Boston Celtics, who smoked those bum-ass New York Knicks last night.
Die for Doc Rivers?
Dom, if they're 0-11 when you go.
Please don't go.
It's kind of a sign. Now, I appreciate we got a Texas fan up in Jersey here, but they're 0-11.
Yeah, I'm like, Tom, thanks for calling. Joe's here too, by the way. I don't care. It's fine. But hey, we'll both be at the Lions game. Let's get a beer, Dom. Let's get a beer. I want to meet you, especially if, you're going to make the Texans 0-13. If he loses, Tom, those next two games, you can't go anymore. If you go to 0-13 as a fan going to Texans games, you have to be banned from attending to see them in person.
I'm not gonna go that far.
I am,
but this is Joe's bad vibes. Like, Joe
he's 0-11.
Joe's a little superstitious.
Yeah, he's 0-11.
12 times the charm. That's what we always say.
No, I said if he goes to 0-13, then he's banned.
Okay.
If he look 1-12, I'll take it. But
I'm not going to lie. The Jets game is not a log, and I am a little concerned that the Texans blow that one. Amir Omar comments, really bad take here on White. Shocked. White has elite skills. Imagine how we all thought of Christian Harris before D'Amico got here. I thought Christian Harris was good before D'Amico got here because I have eyes. And some people believe I'm a football savant. It's fine. Not everybody could see what I can see, but hey, you didn't grow up watching a six-time Super Bowl champion. It's fine.
I mean, Christian Harris also was like a rookie?
Right. He was also a rookie, but I thought he looked good. I know I'm in the minority there, but I thought to myself, this guy flies to the football and he hits people. That's what I want out of a linebacker. Devin White is not Devin White anymore. You're buying a used car at this point, and it looks good online, but oh, wait. Huh. Why is this souped-up car only $8,000, right? It's one of those things. What's actually going on underneath the hood? That's what you got with Devin White here. And look, hey, throw something at the wall here, but clearly not a good team guy, and I don't think he's the same player anymore.
He hasn't played a snap since last season.
Right.
I will say I am 100% a victim of seeing a name I recognize from 3 years ago in the NFL and being like, oh, okay. Like, oh, Devin White, there's might be something there. I think like maybe the last like 2 or 3 years, I finally – no, actually what it was when Nick Caserio was signing them all to one-year deals. Guys I know from 4 years ago when they're good to one-year deals and they're still at 3-14 team. That's when I was like, actually, if they're free agents in the middle of the season, probably not good.
Yeah. And there's an article on Crossing Broad. And I guess he's deleted all the tweets, but it was a list of 5 or 6 tweets that Devin White had from the sidelines, essentially, while he's not playing for the Eagles.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's enough over the last 2 years with him where you're wondering, okay, you're bringing him onto a winning team. Do you really want this guy around if things aren't going 100%? Because right now, things are not going 100%. I know you're 5-2, but we've all been nitpicking a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially after this loss to the Packers. So, I don't know. I don't like the addition. I hope he proves me wrong. But this isn't like adding Stephon Diggs, where Diggs was still playing well last year.
Yeah.
This is adding a guy who literally hasn't played this season.
I do like his Twitter timeline. It looks like he's got a mix of Jack Easterby in him. He's just tweeting out some motivational quotes, some books with like the headlines of Lions Don't Lose Sleep Over the Opinions of Sheep. He's retweeting highlights from Brian Baldinger from the preseason, breaking down his game tape.
I like so, that. I mean, that's his resume.
Yeah.
that's what got him into this job. Do you think D'Amico Ryans are scrolling his Twitter? And he's like, oh, Baldy likes him.
Yeah. It's like, that's
Baldy like Kenyon Green.
Baldy
too.
Like Kenyon right. Green. Yeah. That's a bad.
But,
listen, I don't know.
The
I don't
play
know
he was
probably
looking at was a good play. Okay.
Right. It was. Green, I think, is physically talented. I just don't think he knows how to pick up stunts, which is a little concerning.
He doesn't know how to play football.
Guard, yeah.
Yeah. That's been killing them. All game long.
Jimbo Fisher doesn't know how to develop talent, clearly. Maybe the Texans do.
Gosh.
Just saying.
Jimbo Fisher didn't think he'd take strays today.
No.
He definitely woke up this morning and was like, I know 12-3, I will not get a stray shot thrown at me. There's no reason.
Aggies a lot Boom. Better. They're a lot better with Mike Elko, though I think there's some things that need to be cleaned up from their win against Mississippi State. Anyway, it is Galana George. Joe George taking shots at Jimbo Fisher. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Up next, we got Soft Boys. I have to revisit probably my most embarrassing moment this month, which happened on Saturday night. I really feel ashamed for backtracking. And speaking of backtracking, good God, I never thought I would see the day where my favorite team in sports is the biggest joke in sports. But here we are, Soft Boys. Who's been soft in the world of sports? We do that next. Plus, some crying from the Yankees and Dodgers. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka got into it with LeBron James last year, calling him a soft-ass boy, every Wednesday at 12:30, we go over who's been soft in the world of sports. But with the Rockets tipping off their season tonight, and with Ime Udoka, a guy installing a new culture here, a team that doesn't take crap from anybody, I thought this could be a fun prop bet. This is not listed online, and we're not 100% sure how many they got into last year, but clearly, the Rockets were a team that liked to get into scuffles. we talked in the break. We believe that the Rockets got in about 7 scuffles last year. Mm-hmm.
Conservatively.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yes. And there's always, like, what is and is, like, what passes the threshold of it. But I think 7, maybe 8 is, like, a good number. A good guess.
Okay. So, over, under.
8.5?
7.5.
7.5? Okay.
For the Rockets for the 2024-2025 season.
Well, because I anticipate, you know, we anticipate them playing more than 82 games this season. I'm cheating. I'm taking the over.
All right.
Taking the over.
The extra.
Give me one playoff fight, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe they win the in-season tournament, because that's still a thing.
That is still,
you know,
a thing.
Maybe they get a fight in that game.
I want the over, and I know they'll give me the over, because they play the kind of basketball that I want to see. Rockets!
Bang!
Rock fight! The kind of basketball that I want to fight, the Freudian slip almost
was.
Okay. No, not sure sex. I don't want to have sex with that brand of Rockets basketball.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No.
As far as the over-under, I mean, even if it's 10, that's 1 every 8 games. Doesn't that seem low? 1 every 8 games?
Especially who's on this team.
When you say it like that.
And they're going to be good. Like, we see it a lot of times where these, like, brash young teams, the first year that they're actually good, think the Memphis Grizzlies. They did it actually a couple years. But these first time these teams are good, they let the old guard know about it. They talk.
The team you brought up is why the over is easy.
Yeah.
Brooks, Steven Adams.
And they play them 4 times.
And, I mean, shoot, you mentioned, Sean, the chirping when you think you're good. I mean, you had last year, while the Rockets were in the midst of that winning streak.
That's when they're doing it the most.
They're talking trash to the Golden State Warriors. Who was it from the Warriors come out to play?
Tari Eason,
mm-hmm. That's it. So, yeah, I think we're all in agreement they're going to hit the over. Follow-up, who's going to start the most of these on a team that features Dylan Brooks and Cam Whitmore? Both of whom,
yeah, sneaky high level.
I'd also say Amen Thompson.
He's kind of feisty.
Thompson's feisty. He's like quiet feisty.
Steven Adams.
I think he's finished. He finishes it.
I'm starting to think the 7.5 might be a low number. Like, as we're talking this out, like, I'm
maybe what, every 5th game.
I'm gonna go.
So that's 16.
Give me Cam Whitmore. Starts the most of these.
I think that. It's going to be Brooks. Old reliable.
I also think it's going to be Brooks. And some of it is just the minutes per game. This is where just how often are you on the court. And I think Dylan Brooks is at least going to start the season as a starter. Probably. But he's definitely. I feel comfortable saying he's going to play more than Cam Whitmore. So, yeah. Give me Dylan. Also, the body of work.
The body of work is one that has everybody in the league wanting to fight him.
Exactly. Yeah. He's going to walk in.
He's going to goad some.
Walking in the stadium, people are going to want to fight him.
If he goads it, does it count as a scuffle started by the Rockets? Dylan Brooks existing, starting a fight.
I think
instead
so.
Of Dylan Brooks shoving
I think so.
Somebody or something.
If Dylan Brooks looks at a player, they're going to want to fight him. That counts.
When's the first one? Like, how long are we waiting for this?
I hope tonight.
Let me look at their schedule.
I mean, they play
maybe tonight.
So they play San Antonio back-to-back on Saturday and then on Monday.
That's normally a recipe for these teams are going to be sick of
each
other.
Yeah, for sure. Dylan Brooks and Chris Paul are definitely going to fight in one of those 2 games.
A week from tomorrow, they play the Mavericks. I think that's the last possible one. Like, they might get in a fight in that game.
Is LaMelo Ball playing for the Hornets tonight?
I believe he is, yes.
Oh, I mean, come on. First game back. Someone's got to say, welcome back to the NBA.
I think
insufferable Gen Z icon.
Oh, and they play the Warriors on November 2nd? Like, yeah. they're going to get in a fight.
They might be at 4 by next week.
Oh, that would be awesome.
They play the Spurs a third time 2 Wednesdays from now.
Oh, yeah, they play all their Spurs games within
the
first month, basically.
All right. It is Soft Boys every single Wednesday at 12:30. I'm so embarrassed of my New England Patriots. Drake May looks good, but this is a disaster. And the sooner they pull the plug on their current head coach, the better. Jerod Mayo, after losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, unprompted, said this to open up his press conference.
What I would say is, look, we're a soft football team across the board. We talk about what makes a tough football team. That's being able to run the ball. That's being able to stop the run. and that's being able to cover kicks, and we did none of those today.
I mean, they're seven games in, Gerard.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
It gets worse. So, I already miss Bill Belichick. And Bill Belichick was on the Pat McAfee show, and he completely disagrees with Gerard Mayo, what he said about the team being soft. Here's Bell.
I'm kind of hurt for those guys because they call them soft. They're not soft. They were the best team in the league last year against the run. And those guys did out there, went out there and did it, even though we couldn't score many points offensively. So, I don't know. I feel bad for the defensive players on that one because those guys, that's a tough group.
I don't think Belichick likes Mayo. And there's some things going on behind the scenes that makes it seem like they picked Bob Kraft, picked Gerard Mayo as a successor to Belichick. We're talking like 2019 because they went on a retreat to Israel together. Not even kidding. You can't make that up. And last year, there were meetings that Mayo was having with Kraft when it was determined that they were probably going to move on from Belichick after the year because they weren't going to do it in the midst of the season. So there's clearly some animosity that Belichick has towards Mayo here. But this is where I think it looks worst of all for Gerard Mayo. It's one thing to call your team soft after a game, but hey, maybe they were soft. What if you do this a couple of days later while on WEEI for your weekly coaches interview with Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriots tight end, setting him up for this?
Gerard, when you say after the game, because we've been talking about this and we're trying to figure it out, that your team is soft.
Playing soft.
Yeah, I should have said.
And look, let me just go ahead and correct that. We're playing soft.
Okay.
Because if you look at the first, you know, going back to training camp, like there was definitely some toughness all around the place. And we still have the same players, and we just got to play that way.
We're soft, too. We're playing soft.
Yeah.
But we're not soft. We're playing soft. That's a backtrack.
But even
that
then,
is soft.
You're still calling them soft.
Yeah.
It's a backtrack, but it's not. He didn't go back far enough. Like he should have. You gotta dive in or totally retract.
Joe, you can't go back. There's no retracting. You call your team soft. They are soft. You can't say we're playing soft. We're not soft. Okay. First off, what a difference between those two things. Okay. But second, you can't go back. That is soft. This is softer than the Patriots on Sunday.
And the thing is, like, your locker room, I would imagine, like, they're pissed they're being called soft.
Yes!
But maybe try to use it as motivation? I don't know. Double down?
Or the way to backtrack without backtracking, because, yes, saying that they're not soft, they're playing soft. It's like, I'm not calling you a liar, I'm saying you're lying, is to go, well, they're not up to my standard of toughness. That's the way to be like, maybe they're not soft, but I want them even tougher. That's the way to do it. But yeah, no, Gerard Mayo doesn't look good.
You think he gets fired after the season?
I would, but I don't think they will.
I think because of what Paul mentioned, that he's Kraft's hand-picked selector or successor. I think he gets another year.
They're a disaster. They're an epic disaster. I mean, apparently guys are going out and having fun in London, and they all feel like the energy in the game kind of cratered after the first quarter where they were leading 10-0. You got Jalen Polk, who claims he has the best hands in the NFL, dropping two passes on Sunday, and then afterwards putting on his Instagram story just a peace sign, like, bye. You got all the wide receivers are bitching and moaning.
I thought that was two for the drops.
It should have been.
He really opened himself up. Though.
Listen, I know everybody's been waiting for this for years, and enjoy it, because like they're a disgrace. They're an absolute disgrace right now.
I didn't think they'd be this bad, though.
I didn't either.
I thought it'd be like a tail off.
Did I, man?
Like, especially when Drake Mays played good through 2 weeks.
That's the only bright spot. The only bright spot. Drake May doesn't look like a disaster.
They deserve to be called soft, but Mayo backtracking on that, I think, is even softer.
Yeah.
Chris Christie. You know him. A New Jersey politician who happens to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. People like him, we discussed this after the show yesterday, that are the reason that everyone hates Cowboys fans. It's Northeastern Cowboys fans who are the absolute worst. Cowboys fans from Dallas, I feel like, are rather self-loathing and kind of honest about what this team has been since their last Super Bowl victory. But Chris Christie said that Dan Campbell had no class while the Lions were running up the score on the Cowboys, throwing passes to offensive linemen and doing all sorts of hilarious trick plays. I love Dan Campbell, a.k.a. Man Campbell. This is what he had to say when asked about that after the game.
Chris Christie was really mad at you about the Cowboys, being mean to the Cowboys. So you ran up to the floor. I'm sure you heard the comments. What's your reaction to being mean?
No, it's the only thing. The last time somebody called me classless, I was drinking wine out of a bottle. All right. So, but no, it's all good. I'm not worrying about it.
That's my kind of coach. Drink the wine right out the bottle.
Christie had said, depends. Depends. If you're by yourself, maybe.
Yeah, I'm hoping that other people have a bottle, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. I tell you, everyone's rich, got a nice bottle of wine. Everyone just gets their own bottle.
Well, if you're doing it from a 750 milliliter one, if it's one of those like double servings ones that you can buy at the grocery store or something like that, that's totally fine. But if you're doing it from the 750, it's a lot. You better
be
in the right
classless?
Setting.
Are you calling him classless?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying you better be in the right setting because people will shame you.
They'll call you classless.
It's very easy to also be, oh my God, we should just send a wellness check on this person.
Right. It's more that than the lack of class. But as someone who hangs out with friends who are way classier than me, I constantly deal with little reminders that I am classless white trash. Like, I get reminded of this all the time. Because, listen, I am what I am. I'm the son of a Bostonian and Philadelphian. I am just like the perfect storm of white trash. No matter what I try to be, and no matter how far our family digs its way out of it, with my sister going to Harvard and stuff like that, I still am what I am, and I'm proud of it, okay? But Dan Campbell being called someone with no class by Chris Christie, here's what he said Chris Christie did on with Chris Russo, I believe, on Mad Dog Radio. That's Dan Campbell. He's got no class, never has, so it's fine. Look, Dan Campbell, that's the way he is, and what goes around comes around.
This sounds like a threat.
By the way, Dan Campbell played for the Cowboys. Does he not remember that?
I wouldn't be shocked if he wasn't.
Chris Christie wasn't in the know?
If he wasn't locked in on who the backup tight ends were.
I think it's classless to be a fat slob who's a leader in our country, and that's what Chris Christie is.
What's he doing on Mad Dog, though?
That was my question. What if it was to talk about the Yankees in the World Series and also the Cowboys, him being a Cowboys fan, just being literally being the joke of the bandwagon sports fan of, I'm sure that you've seen this on Twitter where people making the joke that no matter who wins the World Series, Cowboys fans will be happy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
They'll be very happy. And their Lakers started 1-0 last night.
Boom. So. Everything's coming up bandwagon. Mm-hmm.
Soft Boys continues. Who's been soft in the world of sports? If you listened to the show on Monday, I told you about something that went down on Saturday night. So I don't remember doing this, but it's on video, and I did do it. I was with a couple of my friends, and one of my friends decided to start recording us. I don't know why. I think he sent it to a couple of our other friends. It was right after Georgia had beaten Texas. And I guess, I don't remember doing it, I threw up a horns down. My two best friends who are diehard UT fans and have welcomed me aboard the UT bandwagon were incensed and lit me up on the text line to the point where I felt bad and sad. I felt like I let my friends down. So I didn't apologize just once. I apologized multiple times. Who's soft here? My friends for getting mad at the horns down or me caring about what my friends think and backtracking and apologizing? I'm going to say, in my opinion, it's the latter, and I've been beating myself up over it for the last, now 4 days.
Just in case they're listening, this is Joe speaking here. Friends, super soft. Super duper duper charm and soft.
Like, yeah.
Guys, relax. It's horns down. Brian and Sean talk to me every day, and I think I threw it up 10 times while we were at LaBerge together.
The funny thing is... This is why I believe that people take horns down so seriously, because these two friends of mine, they take it very seriously.
I think your friends are psychopaths.
I didn't say it.
I mean, maybe, and now this is going to also be mean, or can be interpreted as mean. I'm not calling them old, but they are old. They're in a different generation of Longhorn fans that I've been around. Everyone in my generation, like the late 20s kind of, and I'm sure the younger ones, too, have absolutely no problem with it. Like, it is just a joke, the horns down thing, to everyone that I knew and went to college with.
Yeah, I would imagine these are the kind of guys, once again, Joe speaking here, not Paul, that are crying with joy that Vince Young has been named a member of the 2024 SEC Legends class. Congrats to Vince Young.
It just means more.
SEC Legends.
It just means more.
They were there when Texas won the Natty, so maybe that's part of why they're as diehard UT.
I always felt bad for, and drawing it back to the Cowboys, I always felt bad for the people my age that were Longhorn fans and Cowboys fans, because I'm like, everyone just hates your football team and is glad you're bad, and you didn't get to see any of the winning. You didn't get to see any of it.
One last one in Soft Boys, and remember the Savannah Bananas Invitational begins on Friday. There's a team from New York and there's a team from Los Angeles playing for the right to play against the true icon of baseball in a post-Houston Astros making every single ALCS world. It's the Savannah Bananas. So these two teams have an opportunity to play against them. The New York team is still thinking about 2017. Gotta look ahead to what's right in front of you. Here is Brian Cashman.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year, I don't want to say drought, that's not fair, but you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning a pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot, and I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't it completely forgets and discounts that that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. You know, if you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing, so... I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
I mean, dude, get over it. Get over it. Please. Focus on the team that's in the World Series right now.
I suppose if you're the GM, it doesn't really matter how focused you are. But...
like, okay. The Astros cheated. Fact. Carlos Beltran brought the sign-stealing scandal with him after coming from the New York Yankees. Also, fact. As Josh Reddick pointed out on social media, he tweeted, "Hey, Brian, why did your team score less than 5 runs at Minute Maid but scored all those runs in New York?" Because the Yankees suck on the road, or sucked on the road, during that time, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. That they lost. I think they scored, 2 runs in the last 2 games of the ALCS in 2017. 2017 in Game 6 and Game 7. Like, guys, it doesn't. You got to hit. You got to score runs to make a World Series. This is just, incredibly soft. I honestly think that Brian Cashman just takes the whole 15-year drought thing personally. I think that's what it is.
Because it's his fault.
Yes.
How does he still have a job? That is what blows
me. Also because he didn't the first title run in the 2000s, he didn't develop or he didn't sign any of those guys. The core four were already there. And so I feel like he feels like he doesn't get enough credit for that. And then also it's like when you strip away credit for those 4 rings, then it's like, "Oh, so it's 1 ring in 25 years of being the GM of the Yankees, including a 15-year stretch where you didn't make the World Series." That's why I think he's so very soft about this.
Keeping this going with the Savannah Banana Invitational starting on Friday, the Los Angeles team is also bitching and moaning about 2017. In a story published by The Athletic on Friday, Jason Stark, who was in the visiting clubhouse after the Dodgers had beat the Mets 10-2 in Game 4 of the NLCS, asked players if they could think of a better 1-2 hitter combination than Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts. Kershaw said this, Clayton Kershaw, noted Dodger postseason choker, who's probably more than anyone, including the Astros, prevented the Dodgers from winning more World Series, seeing as he is an absolute choking dog loser in the playoffs. Quote, "I'm trying to think of teams that I pitched against. Like the best teams. I mean, leadoff-wise. Altuve and Bregman were good, but they cheated, so that's not really the same." What a pussy. I mean, this guy sucks. Hey, when the Dodgers lose this World Series because of Clayton Kershaw, is he going to say that? Is he going to put the Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton combination here? Or is he going to accuse them of cheating too? Because he probably would.
Well, I mean, they're probably the ones cheating, considering who's on their roster. You know, a bunch of cheaters. Like Mookie Betts.
Yeah, literally the 2018 World Series winner.
Kike Hernandez.
I mean, we don't... Mookie Betts.
And Teoscar Hernandez.
Mookie Betts was on a team in 2018 that was cheating, by the way, against the Dodgers. And on top of that, Shohei Ohtani, was he cheating the game by gambling? We don't know.
What a story that just started the season and just completely vanished.
It did totally vanish.
Unreal.
L.A., really hardcore, tough sports market.
I really don't know who I want to see win this series. I hate the Yankees, so I guess I'm rooting for the Dodgers by default.
Yeah, it's just the Yankees fans.
I'm rooting for... Well, that would be wrong.
Are you rooting for Bane?
Yes, a Bane-like scenario.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the complete dissolving of Major League Baseball. I want the league to just fold.
Well,
Somebody steal all of their money and make it fold?
The league is going to prove right now if it has any real value. I heard Jeff Paston say this, and I think it's actually a really good point. Like, they try to pretend like their sport is still like nationally relevant.
It's not.
Well, you now have the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series. Your ratings should double from what they were last year.
9 million people on average watch those games.
Yeah, it should double. But once again, more people in Japan will watch this World Series than people in America.
Yeah, that's unfair. They get to add that in there. Like, oh, our international audience is up for the World Series. Shut up.
It's just because of the Dodgers.
I hate baseball right now. I really do. I mean, I don't really like it as it is, but this is just the perfect storm of terrible. And these two bitching, whining franchises in the World Series, they deserve each other. But they do not get my eyeballs. I refuse to watch it. Galan and Georgie's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. That is Soft Boys every single Wednesday at 12:30. Up next, more Houston Rockets prop bets? Texans talk? Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.